Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Bucks podcast. That's what it's called now, but stay tuned. We have maybe some rebranding news later on in the show here. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the show. On the other line is Jim Ozarski. He is the Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He has been observing this Milwaukee Bucks team. They are on a roll. They have played a bunch of games since we last spoke. I believe they've played five of them, including one last Tuesday, in which they set the NBA record for three-pointers made. Followed that up with a loss to the Heat, but have won three straight at Pfizer Forum. They play again Friday night against the Utah Jazz. Saturday, it's the Cavaliers, also at home to wrap up this homestand. And the Milwaukee Bucks kind of, you know, looking pretty good. Jim, we got a few topics on the docket today, but we'll start here talking about the Bucks offensively. You wrote about this at jsonline.com, and what you've seen from them lately kind of has brought them back into the territory we'd expect. They're the best three-point shooting team in the NBA, best, I believe, scoring margin team in the NBA at this point. They're doing what it takes offensively. I think we kind of touched on this before the season. They'd probably be fine offensively, struggle defensively, would eventually get up to speed. That's what we're seeing. So just give me some takeaways, some impressions of what you've seen. Is this, you know, legit that they could be one of the best offensive teams again in the NBA?
Yeah, for sure. And you're right. You kind of forget, I guess, that they have been the top scoring team in the league each of the last 2 years. And that's largely, I think, because, as we know, they fell short of a goal, right? And that offense, I don't want to say it disappeared, but it definitely became less consistent in the postseason. I think that's for most teams. Clearly, during the regular season, you've just got, you know, different types of games that lead to points. I think offensively you're seeing, you know, John Horst's mission of finding shot creators, shot makers, come to life. I mean, look, I think even though 11% of the season is done, it's safe to say that they made the right call in finding the right kinds of guys. I mean, Bryn Forbes is a vet. He shoots 40% from three. He is who he is, and that's what he is doing, right? And, you know, and he's finding a rhythm with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, Jrue Holiday, again, a long, long time veteran. He is who he is. He is doing the things he was brought here to do. Bobby Portis. Now, maybe Bucks fans aren't as familiar with him. He is kind of that, you know, instant offense guy off the bench. That's what he's been doing the last few years in New York and Chicago. He's doing it here. So again, yes. So I think we're seeing what they expected. I think what we wondered would take a little longer, JR, is finding the spacing and finding the ability to make those 3-point shots around Giannis, around Drew. I think that's come together. I mean, what'd you say? That Miami game was the fourth game of the season. You know, so what is that? That's another 4 or 5 practices that they had. So, yeah, I think we're seeing maybe what we expected offensively. And to be quite honest, I think we'll continue to see it to a degree because, again, it's a lot of veterans who are kind of doing what they were brought here to do. And really the wild card, JR, to me is Dante DiVincenzo going to keep it up to a degree? And then also, can Giannis get better in whatever facet that may be at 26 years old?
Yeah, certainly Giannis will always be a storyline. Only scored 9 points in that game where the Bucks lit it up from 3-point range. Obviously, when the offense is coming from the perimeter, you don't even really want Giannis to be all that involved, so that's not a huge surprise. But that had continued an early season trend where he maybe just hasn't been at, you know, all Pistons firing at the same time. And since then, Giannis has been fine. You know, we had a triple-double in that follow-up loss to the Miami Heat, which is something I think we've grown accustomed to the point where we start to take it for granted. You know, 29-12-8 against the Chicago Bulls in a blowout win. And the Bulls are not a bad team. They have had some pretty impressive flashes going on. I don't know if the Detroit Pistons will ever match up with the Milwaukee Bucks. They just can't do it. It's just not in their DNA. They were crushed twice. I believe it's 9 in a row now. And Giannis dropped 43 on him in the first game. So I think he's fine. He's going to be fine. I think their starting five looks exactly right. I in a way, it's almost, and I think you've even touched on this in other interviews that you've done, or just other, you know, like, it's hard to get excited about this Bucks team because they're just so exactly what we envisioned to a degree, especially when you're talking about the starting five. You know, Drew Holiday's been great. Brook Lopez has started to find himself offensively a little bit and is still a key factor on defense. Chris Middleton's money. Giannis is going to be Giannis. DiVincenzo, like you said, seems to, he seems to be that straw that stirs the drink at times, so... I'm struggling to find storylines, you know, like they're just, yeah, their defense could be better, but for the most part, it seems like this is, you know, they're right on track with what you'd expect.
Yeah. And I, you know, the defense is probably the thing, and we can pat ourselves on the back for kind of predicting a 3-3 start and just sort of that slow adjustment. And when I say adjustment, they're not running, you know, we're not talking a football scheme here, right? I mean, these guys have all played some form of a drop defense, or they've played against it. They know what it is. They know what to do. It's just a matter of consistently doing it, and then not only that, elevating it to a certain level. And when you – Packers fans, I think, can relate to this to a degree. When you set the bar at a historic level – like the Milwaukee Bucks did last year defensively, it's really hard to top that. Oh, yeah. You know,
totally.
Like it's pretty unrealistic. So even if they would have brought the same group back, there was probably going to be a defensive regression, let alone adding new guys who frankly aren't as good individual defenders and are going to have to be worked in to Bobby Portis, Drew Holiday, Bryn Forbes. Like, this isn't, you know, do they know what to do? Yes. Can they do it all the time? Probably not. So I think that was where the balance they were trying to find with this. But, you know, so maybe they're going to give up X amount of more points or the rating's going to be worse. But conversely, they're going to score more. And at the end of the day, JR, like, I think that's what the playoffs are about. The defense was fine, and it was what it was, but they just couldn't score. And I think you're right. Like, I think that this Bucks team is going to have to find the medium or what they're happy with or can live with defensively, because yeah, they might score 125 a game.
Yeah, crushing people and missing some players and the depth of their rotation, and they're still just blowing people out. In a way, you see this team score 144 in a game and only 9 for Giannis. Well, that's exactly the type of thing you need in the playoffs, because teams have figured out a way to shut down Giannis, or at least mitigate him when they've struggled in the postseason. Perhaps they can move beyond that. They're just that deep and that blessed defensively. I love Bobby Portis. I love watching him. He's you know, when he came in, I kind of pictured him as like the hockey enforcer, you know, the guy who had skill, but, you know, he was there to provide an edge, make some plays, you know, be a big off the bench, maybe a couple hard fouls, defend your star player maybe. But he's fun. He's, you know, he's doing the flex. I'm pretty sure Coach, you know, Mike Budenholzer was not happy with him when he was doing his flex up big in one of those games against the Pistons. But I like the energy. I don't know if that's a thing that we can expect all year, but he's getting a lot of minutes, and he seems like he's a pretty good fit for what the Bucks were looking for.
Yeah, I mean that's him, you know, and you know, I hesitate to bring this up, because it clearly was a one-off to a degree. But, I mean, look, when he got into the league and he was in Chicago, you know, he had an altercation with a teammate that was sort of brought on by Nikola Mirotic. And look, Bobby's that kind of guy. Like, he's just he has that edge, and you know, he talks about his, you know, sort of underdog mentality that he's had his whole life and career, you know, coming out of Arkansas and he was a first round pick, but he was a late first rounder, you know, and back at a time when I guess in 15, 16, that maybe didn't guarantee much, and it's kind of made himself into this valuable off the bench scorer. I think you can expect this. I mean, he's at like 11 and a half a game, 8 rebounds a game. Sounds about right. Shooting 38% from three. Like, if he can shoot 38% from three as kind of your big, along with Giannis, that's a huge deal offensively. Defensively, I think he'll be physical and he wants to do the right things. Going back to our previous topic, that's not always going to happen, but he'll clean up the glass and again have that sort of physical presence. So, I think he definitely fits the Milwaukee fan base, JR. And he can score. Like, he's not just kind of a guy, right? Like, oh, we could root for him because he tries really hard. Like, no, he can actually do some things and affect the game when he's in.
Yeah, definitely seeing that. And as far as the minutes distribution goes, the Bucks have been without a few players lately. Mentioned that Sam Merrill, Torrey Craig, who's going to be out for a little while longer with a broken nose, Pat Connaughton as well. And my guy DJ Wilson is just not getting any minutes. I mean, they're going to Thanasis, they're going to Jordan Wara, who I think has gotten really nice stretch of playing time here, given the lopsided nature of some of these games, and he's showing what he can do. I don't know where DJ Wilson's going to play. I mean, early on, I thought maybe we would see him a little bit more in the rotation, but not getting minutes over Jalen Adams in this last game makes me think that the DJ Wilson, it's just not happening in Milwaukee for our guy.
Yeah, it was interesting, JR, because, you know, he was off the bench the first three games, you know, in our first couple of podcasts, had a strong camp. He was rewarded for that, you know, being the man off the bench for Giannis. Bud switched it up in Miami after that 2-1 start and that debacle in New York. Now it's interesting going forward because clearly in Miami, that stretch, that group, that rotation worked. He switched up again a little bit against Detroit, you know, in terms of who came off and when, largely, as you said, due to the injuries, I think. Not so much, they had to find the 17 minutes Pat Connaughton was giving them somewhere. But yeah, DJ Wilson, you know, clearly has kind of, look, if Thanasis is the guy coming in, right? Like, clearly they feel he's behind Portis. He's Wara, I guess, maybe offers a little bit more offensively. Yeah, it's going to be tough, especially when Torrey Craig comes back. And you would think at this point, you know, he's going to get some of those wing defensive minutes. Yeah, DJ Wilson might have found himself with, you know, Sam Merrill at this point, waiting for things to happen in a blowout.
Thanasis is getting a lot of run. I think the joke goes, well, maybe that was written into the Supermax contract extension that Big Brother would get some extra playing time. If Thanasis is out there, you don't maybe need a defensive stop, but he brings energy. Like the guy's throwing down pretty good dunks and stuff. So right. I am surprised that we're seeing a healthy dose of it. But again, like obviously Bobby Portis is the more accomplished, more skilled player. He's going to be a bigger impact guy, but kind of in the same bucket of just energy. And at a time when you need energy, when there are no fans in the stands, I do feel like there is some value maybe to Thanasis' game that we wouldn't maybe otherwise see. I mean, there was an alley-oop dunk. I don't even remember which game this was, but right out of the out-of-bounds play, I think Bryn Forbes threw it up. I might be wrong. That might have been Augustin to Giannis, and he threw down just a remarkable tomahawk jam, and it was awesome and sensational, and there was, like, no reaction in the building. I mean, you could just feel the air fizzle out of the balloon because it's just there's no crowd, and basketball, I think, more than baseball or even football, like, to a degree, relies on those energy moments, and you don't have that right now, so maybe that is the key to getting Thanasis more minutes. The guy loves to be out there. It's pretty clear.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, JR, coming from covering the NFL when this started, and those guys talked about having to create their own juice and do these things. Like, I think it's hard to do in football. I think in basketball, you can, because there's so few guys. And look, I'm going to believe the players when they say it. If Brook Lopez tells me that Thanasis and Giannis are setting an energy tone in pregame, early in the game, look, they like the guy. That's part of it, too. Like, this is going to sound so weird because Bucks Twitter is getting so mad that, like, Thanasis was getting run. You know, he's not an NBA player. It's like, look, first of all, the four other guys he's with are scoring at an incredible rate. So they're not, like, falling off in that regard. He's providing – like, he's getting in the way on defense, right? And he's got – so, I was in Miami, and he's got the entire bench and that group just rolling with him, right? And you're right. I think – now, can they sustain that over the next 60 game, you know, 65 games? I don't know. But right now, yeah, I think there's something to it. You know, to get them fired up and keep them energized in these blowout games. And then finally, JR, look, Torrey Craig broke his nose. Like, when they switched what they were doing and Bud comes out at that Miami game and says, well, Thanasis played because they've got these wings that are doing, like, it basically sounded like what Torrey Craig's here to do, but he wasn't available. So we'll see. When Torrey Craig is back and finally in shape, we'll see if he, like, kind of replaces Thanasis with some of those, like, wing defender minutes. But until then, yeah, I mean, look, they're scoring 120 points a game again. Like, they're not missing anything when he comes in with these groups because they're just scoring and shooting at such a great rate thus far.
They do love him. He's a joy to watch. I mean, on the sideline or in the game, it's cool that there's somebody who seems to have this never ending reservoir of appreciation for being in the NBA. Like, he just seems so happy, and it's infectious when you're looking for that energy. Curious if you have any impressions about what's going on around the NBA overall. I am interested to see the Bucks play the Jazz and Cavs, although maybe not as much as this Orlando Magic team on Monday in Orlando, returning to the scene of the bubble. The Magic are pretty good here to start out the gate. They do not have the Bucks, do not have the 76ers on their schedule here for the part that's been released, that first half of the season schedule. But that's probably the other more fascinating team in the East. The Nets haven't jumped out to a massive, you know, hot start like maybe we thought they would, similar to the Bucks. They've had some hiccups. They've obviously lost some players, lost Kevin Durant for a while in COVID protocol, so that's maybe a little bit unfair to judge. Other teams kind of facing that similar situation here and there as well. The Raptors have really struggled out of the gate. Anything jump out at you as far as adjusting preseason expectations? We're talking about 8 games. Everyone knows that. But anything shift for you based on what you've seen in the early going?
No. I mean, I find it humorous. The like, I guess as a newish hardcore basketball observer, it's taken me a little while, you know, to kind of get back into it. As we talk, JR, I follow the league and the team on a more casual basis before switching over, and to see sort of the Nets being crowned after a season opener, to see Steph Curry somehow, like, sucked after 2 games. And then, like, the complete reverse, right, when Steph dropped 62 and everyone who buried him is like, wait, who buried him? And, you know, now the Nets are, you know, what's wrong with the Nets? Like, I don't know if that's how basketball goes. It seems like more of an NFL sort of overreaction at times. So, but anyway, you know, look, Cleveland started 3-0. They're 4-4 right now. They're terrible on offense. They've been okay on defense. You know, Philadelphia is interesting to me because they had such an odd split last year with that home and away thing. And you can't say that they're not talented. And I think, you know, look, Doc Rivers, I mean, I don't know where you fall on Doc, JR. I think.
Love him.
But I do think feelings of him are mixed, right? Like, since that title, it's kind of been, well, that was a long time ago. And what have you done since? But I do think he's a good coach and is a good fit for teams like Philadelphia. So that's the one I'm going to keep an eye on as far as, like, I don't know if I'm surprised that they're starting well, because when you look at that roster, But I guess they've just been so kind of inconsistent. Like, I'd be really curious if they're a team at the break, JR, then you're like, wow, okay, these are the games that the Bucks are going to circle on the schedule now, right? Like, how many times are they going to play Philly? When are they playing them? Orlando, I mean, sure. I guess I'm just not, you know, Indiana makes sense to me, you know. Their players are back. Boston makes sense. I think the Knicks are probably a little more surprising.
Yeah.
At 5-3. You know, but again, I think we'll see where that goes, you know, in terms of the East. It's just, yeah, Orlando and the Knicks, I think, might take me a little bit to be like, okay, I'll check back with me after 20 games, 25 games, you know, whereas Philadelphia, Boston, Indiana, like, yeah, I'm okay saying like this is who they are and kind of the cream of the crop of the East.
Makes that Bucks loss to the Knicks look a little more tolerable, knowing that New York is playing so well. Orlando losing Markelle Fultz to a torn ACL. That's a tough beat. He's not necessarily one of their top scorers per se, but thought he was I really was intrigued by him when the Bucks faced off with Orlando in the bubble last year in the first round of the playoffs. And that is a big bummer for Markelle and a big bummer for the Magic. Speaking of the Magic, speaking of the bubble and the first round playoff series in particular, let's take a little bit of a turn to talk about some bigger events, I suppose. You wrote about the Bucks taking a 7-second break from their game. They took a knee after tipping the basketball a couple nights ago, and in honor of Jacob Blake, 7 seconds for the 7 times he was shot by a Kenosha police officer. Obviously, the news broke that the Kenosha police officers involved in that shooting would not be facing charges, the district attorney making that announcement earlier in the week. And I don't need to rehash all of that. I think people are pretty familiar with the circumstances. The Bucks act of, you know, sort of acknowledging that got swallowed up big time because it was happening at the same time as there was live coverage of people, an angry mob storming the U.S. Capitol. So that was the story that was on everyone's minds. And I think the Bucks protest got lost in the shuffle. But you were in on the call with Brooke Lopez earlier in the week when the question was asked if what the Bucks did in Orlando or their activism in general had been in vain, because of course they did take they did volunteer to you know, sit out this game against Orlando in the playoffs in the aftermath of that shooting. They did speak with legislators. They did march. They've been a big part of, they were a big domino that fell in sort of the cascading effect around pro sports of teams sitting out, teams protesting, teams showing that they are aware of what's going on and aren't happy about it. And then ultimately what happened. We didn't see any charges filed. Things have sort of in Kenosha, I would say, have died down a little bit. I don't know if I know what Brooke's response to that was. His response was, well, we've sort of been galvanized on our team across the NBA, across other sports, where we know how to use our voice now. We know we can use our voice. And my question is, my curiosity is, if you think we will see that get taken to another level, if you think, because, you know, these protests are important, and I would certainly not advocate that. You know, I would certainly say that it's better to do something and make a statement than it is to do nothing. But I don't know what the effect, tangible effect is. I don't know if all these months later you can say that Wildcat strike did make a huge difference in diverting the course of history. Could we see, especially in a season where there are no fans in the stands, this is probably the right time for something like this. Could we see the teams in the NBA say, you know what, we're sitting out games again. We're threatening to sit out the season again. Unless we start seeing some things implemented, the Milwaukee Bucks, having done this once before, perhaps they again would be willing to be the catalyst that starts this domino effect again. Because if NBA teams sat out, I think it would happen across sports, maybe in college as well. I'm kind of spitballing. There's no indication that this is afoot or anything, but hearing Brooke Lopez talk about it and just your perception, what do you think the next steps are? Could we see this escalate, where we see, you know, greater acts of protest that perhaps have a greater a fundamental impact on the NBA landscape?
Well, the short answer is yes, because the Bucks did it. They've already done it. The precedent has been set with what they did in the bubble. So now that that's been done, it is now at the forefront of every player's mind, you know, in Los, the Clippers, and in Boston, they thought about not playing. The Bucks, Giannis said, you know, not playing was discussed again against Detroit. These teams elected to demonstrate in other ways. But yeah, it's been done. So it's on the table. I remember after the Jacob Blake shooting, we asked the Packers and it was a conversation in the NFL. If the first week of the season might be impacted. And then once it was sort of determined that, okay, in order for them to get paid, they'd have to wait till like week two, like, but that's the point though. It was actually discussed in a different league. We already saw baseball and the Brewers do it. So short answer is yes. Regarding Milwaukee, I think, you know, again, I'm going to go with what the players said. Giannis was like, look, this was our city, our state. So I think when, and let's be honest, when such a thing happens again, if it is not in the city and state, I think the team will recognize it and talk about it. But I don't know if they will act unless it's sort of a global league-wide kind of initiative. If it happens in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, to a certain degree, yeah, I think you'll see the Bucks take a new level or maybe discuss it again. Now, in terms of impact, it was interesting because Chris Middleton said, when I asked him about it the day after, he said he felt that they failed in some way, you know, whereas, which I can't imagine that being incorrect. I'm sure they felt their actions and words and discussions would have, you know, create things. But I think Brooke Lopez and some of the other guys, when they talk about changing the system, like that doesn't happen overnight. Like there's a reason it's called systemic. And these are institutions, systems in place for centuries. And that just doesn't change on a dime. And I think, JR, to your broader question of impact, this current Bucks team, they don't want to be retired. They don't want to be 4 years down the line being called by me or our news side asking like, hey, police training in the state of Wisconsin or in these cities has been changed. New policy has been written and enacted. Like they don't want to wait that long. But if they do, at the end of the day, that's what they're looking for. As Brooke Lopez said, it's a change in the systems of policing and governance. And if that happens, then it made a difference. Everyone wants it to be immediate, but in reality, that likely isn't probable or possible. So, you know, that's to be determined on the bigger picture stuff, JR. Now, again, let's be honest again. Let's be real. When these instances happen again, it's impossible to say how the league and these teams will respond because it's just you don't know until it happens and how it happens and where and who's affected by it, you know, to a degree. So I think, well, that's just a wait and see, but all cards on the table. And that's because of what the Milwaukee Bucks did in August in the bubble.
Yeah, and you mentioned you've covered football, so you know what it's like to be covering football when the Colin Kaepernick story first broke, and it's almost quaint looking back, thinking how upset people were by his act of protest, his symbolic gesture over the symbolic gesture, which is a song, the national anthem, and how big of a deal that was for him to take a knee, and how it may have impacted his career as it did. I think now that I don't want to frame it like it's lost its power. It's still a very powerful thing to do, but the NBA and credit to the NBA for at least embracing it to some degree, and certainly for organizations like the Milwaukee Bucks, who I would say have embraced it in totality. They've really shown that they are on the side of their players and expressed how they felt on these social issues as an organization. But simply kneeling isn't that's surprising anymore. We see teams do it all the time now, and I don't know if it is a a conflict for people anymore. There's so many bigger things now and different forms of protest and people storming the U.S. Capitol. Like there's so much crazier going on right now that simply taking a knee, I don't know if that's going to resonate anymore. And that's why I ask about sitting out whole games, sitting out chunks of the season, sitting out the playoffs until X, Y, and Z have been addressed. You know, ultimately that would hurt the NBA and I guess you could say its fans more than the U.S. government or the people who are ultimately making these decisions, which might be unfair to the league if you believe they've been active in sort of embracing change as well. And it might be unfair to ask 24-year-old kids to put their lives and their dreams on hold to take a stand politically. But, you know, like you said, it's been done before. We've had people like Kyrie Irving discuss this sort of thing of taking bigger steps and George Hill, when he was in the bubble, you know, talking about how uncomfortable he was that they were even there. That's why I ask about sitting out games. You know, I could see us getting to a point where guys around the league get together, put their heads together and say, we are just not going to play until we can see change here, here, and here. And maybe I'm wrong because we're going to have a new president later this month, a new shifted landscape in Congress. So perhaps that'll change everyone's mindset as well. But I just feel like this would be the year to do it. This would be the year to sit out chunks of the season to say, we are not going to play in the playoffs because it's a pandemic crazy year anyway. They're already kind of putting themselves at risk being at work every day. There aren't fans in the stands. I just wonder if somebody, you know, if somebody's going to get that ball rolling. And I mean, maybe it's the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know.
Yeah, it's at the end of the day, it is about the dollar bill. And money we don't need to get into the specific political aspects of this stuff, but let's be honest, the dollar drives policy in a lot of ways. And that's what the NBA and its players are talking about, right? It's about affecting policy, training changes, and yes, demonstrating during an anthem or a moment has been normalized. It's been accepted by these leagues. So when is a protest not a protest? When you're allowed to do it. So that you're right, JR, has lost its impact. The NFL, the Packers were pretty clear on that. While even though they did not come out for the anthem, they felt that was still a worthy demonstration of their beliefs. But yes, in terms of this, look, if the players of the NBA decide not to play, whose bottom line does that affect? Yes, it affects theirs, but it's the ownership. And look, many NBA players are millionaires, but the owners of these 30 franchises are very wealthy, largely white male billionaires, and who have clearly, by their donations and the things they've said and been, that don't, you know, they support different political parties and agendas. And if their money is messed with, they might be more willing to go to the table or talk about different things, right? And because it's different, right, JR? Like, I'm going to give the league credit and the owners credit. You know, they've pledged $300 million to these social justice initiatives. Like, they have actually, that's a lot of money, even for them. Like, that's a lot of money. That's a big deal. That's going to make an impact in these communities. I think the Milwaukee Operation Dream, I think in Milwaukee is, you know, received $200,000. Like, that's a huge, I am not underscoring that, but to your point, JR, of can this escalate? Can the NBA do it? Yes, they can, because they've done it before. They're clearly a group of men who are willing to sacrifice their paychecks from the low-level guys to the high-dollar guys that we do not see in baseball, that we do not see in basketball. Their ownership groups seem to be willing to bend with them to some degrees. So if they get to that point, JR, where they say, we are not going to play unless we see policies drafted, unless we see action taken in our specific state legislatures, who can help facilitate that better than the billionaires who donate to campaigns who get – now, granted, you know, I'll take a pot shot here. I mean, it would probably take a lot more in Wisconsin since it seems like, you know, our state legislature doesn't seem intent on working. You know, I'm not riffing there. I mean, it's kind of fact. So who knows on that one? But, you know, around the country, yeah, the NBA, I could see them doing it because, again, it's been done on a smaller level, and it's a group of gentlemen who aren't afraid to take it there. And that's big, because I think in the other sports, they have been reticent to go to that length for whatever reason. And we'll see. You know, I think anything's on the table, JR, nowadays with a lot of this stuff. And they're flexing, and they've got that juice, and they are clearly showing that they're not afraid to use it.
I have no elegant transition to go from societal world problems that impact everybody to talking just about us. So I'll just lay it bare and bluntly. Let's talk about us. This podcast going to go, we believe, undergoing a little bit of a facelift, maybe a little brand shifting going on. How much are we ready to reveal? Are we ready to talk about some of the things we're going to be doing, or should that be a mystery for the next podcast?
I think it's fair to say we are rebranding. You know, I don't think the Hone Bridge is going to light up our names or our new name of the podcast.
They do it for everything. It's green in honor of some random holiday. Why not? We probably just have to pay the right people, Jim.
Yeah, that is true. Again, as we said, the dollar does move things. So I don't think we're going to get the Hone Bridge. We love George Stanley, but I don't think he's going to send money that way to promote this. But you know, we're going to make it. New name. I think we should give them a little bit of a surprise. We'll have a new sound. We'll have a new name. You know, JR, I'm going to spring this on you. I think because we can now sort of hashtag our new name with an acronym, as you guys are, I'd like to send out requests, you know, hey, hashtag the Bucks podcast from the Journal Sentinel. Get at us on Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat to say like, hey, let's have some interactions. Maybe we'll do, you know, 7 minutes of questions, 8 minutes of questions from readers and fans. We want to be more interactive, I guess, is where we're going with this, to allow you to be part of our conversation rather than just sort of listening in. So, yeah, I think we'll, yeah. If all right. You want to unveil anything other than that, I'm all for. But yeah, I think going forward, we're kind of excited about tweaking sort of what we do, how we do it.
I will leave a little mystery there, but I will say this. I will say that one of the rejected names, as we discussed them for the new podcast, was Full Court Pressy, in honor of Paul Pressy, Bucks legend, Paul Pressy. That is factual. I will hear no arguments to the contrary. Loved watching Paul Pressy in some of my very first Bucks memories. I will say that that is not the name we went with. However, there is a little bit of a tie-in, I think you'll find. I think you'll find that Paul Pressy was not forgotten in the new name that we'll unveil next week. I will also say, if anybody, since I've gotten this far in the podcast, thank you. You are a loyal listener. Feel free to reach out this week. We'll get this ball rolling as soon as we possibly can. If you have questions for the next edition of the Milwaukee Bucks Journal Sentinel podcast, or what it will be known as next week, feel free to holler on Twitter. I'm at JR Radcliffe. That's RADCLIFFE. I should know yours by heart. J Ozarski, certainly, but is it J underscore Ozarski?
No, I'm my full name. It's Jim Ozarski, JimOwczarski. And that's across all platforms, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff.
Look at us early adopters getting our first and last name as our handle across the board. That's pretty sweet. We're visionaries, Jim. That's how it is.
It is. And maybe we'll run through all of the other rejected names.
There's some bad ones.
You know, there's a handful, I think, you know, that I think we can maybe say as a one-off.
Yes, there are a lot of Bucks properties out there, podcasts, you know, multimedia things, whatever, that have manipulated the word bucks into many different ways, and we experimented. We went with a lot of different things. Certainly a lot of these are taken in some capacity, but I'm happy with where we landed.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be good, and it suits us. And yeah, looking forward to kind of shifting this and bringing some more of our personalities into this a little bit, and maybe changing up some of the things we do. And as I get acclimated, as you and I get acclimated with one another and our personalities. So yeah, I don't know if I can bring the turkey bowl concept. Like, I have to think of, like, you know, for the Green 19 followers here, or if anyone from Cincinnati's dialing in, like, you know, basically the turkey bowl was Kirk Cousins or Brock Osweiler, like the guy you want being all-time QB for you and your buddies, but really not your starting quarterback. Like, there is an equivalent of that, JR, in basketball. There is. I just need to figure out a way to like phrase it or bring that in, because I think that's an important part of what JR, it's who I am. Like, there's that guy out there, right?
Yeah, well, a subset of Bucks fans would turn to former high school quarterback star Pat Connaughton, but we'll leave that one alone for now. The two quick rapid-fire questions before I leave you. Speaking of the Green 19 podcast, do you think that podcast will have to change its name should Aaron Rodgers find himself elsewhere? I mean, you were part of the name change there and that podcast for a while. Green 19, of course, is part of his cadence. I originally thought it was because it was labeled in the year 2019. It's going to have to change if Aaron Rodgers is gone, right? Or will the brand live on?
That's a good question. I think the brand will live on because Aaron Rodgers obviously will live on. And whether Jordan Love is good or not, even if it is Jordan Love or not, I think hearing 12's voice in the production, and yeah, the Green 19. Yeah, I think it's a strong brand, and that will continue.
I don't know how they possibly are going to be moving on after this year, after Aaron Rodgers just put together an MVP season at age 37. So probably have at least one more year. And then speaking of things for which they lit the Hone Bridge, the blue uniforms, we've seen them twice now. I love alternate uniforms. I love the City Edition concept. I didn't think I would like the Cream City look. Just, I don't like that color. But I ended up really loving those jerseys last year. What do you think of the blue jerseys? Because I'm not going to lie to you, I think they're boring. I don't like them.
Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of funny because some of the other NBA teams have rolled out their 90s looks.
Oh, yes. And NBA Jam to the stars.
And so to me, it does. It's like a throwback to... Look, I know the Bucks have that purple with like the silver and the script that was a little like kind of all over the place, but they're kind of 90s-ish to me. So, I mean, they're fine. Right. It doesn't really strike me one way or the other, I guess, which, you know, if most of the fan base is down for it and has bought it, like, the mission accomplished. But for me, they don't really do much for me. I'm not a blue, like, blue doesn't strike me in terms of sports colors. That goes across many, many teams. Like, that color, that shade of blue. Let me clarify.
Right. I think that when I see them, it's like, is that the Bucks? And I know that could be said for any of these City Edition jerseys, but it just seems so run of the mill. Green is pretty common in the NBA, actually, but it's a little bit less common across sports, so it feels a little bit more unique. And if they're going to go 90s, I got to incorporate the old Bango logo. Just has to be done. I have ideas for upcoming City Edition jerseys. Somebody should call me. We'll save that for a later podcast. Anything else, Jim, before I let you go?
No, back to back. I will be in Detroit next Wednesday. I will be in Brooklyn for the Martin Luther King showcase against the Nets. I'm sure Bucks fans are already looking ahead to. So yeah, just follow us there. Again, we're the only ones traveling to try to get you as close as your team. We're also trying to convince the Bucks and the city that, you know, we should be allowed in to Fiserv Forum to, again. So we're working for you. To try to bring you as close to your team as you can until fans are allowed in. So be sure to follow us, social platforms, jsonline.com/bucks, and subscribe. It's only a dollar. It's worth it.
Yes, jsonline.com. Find everything Jim Ozarski has to say there. Packers allowing fans in the playoffs, we learned this week, 6,000 fans or so in Lambeau Field. Maybe that'll break the ice a little bit, and we'll get some people inside the building at Fiserv Forum. I know Milwaukee's got some pretty strict lockdown measures in place, so Don't know, but that hopefully will be in the near future. Thanks for joining us, Jim. We will chat with you again soon.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you then.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. You know the drill. Please, please, please. You know what? Did you leave a review 5 years ago? Leave another one. Let us know what you think. Happy to respond. And again, on Twitter, at JR Radcliffe, at Jim Ozarski. You're just going to have to look it up how to spell it if you don't know already. And let us know what you think. Leave us a question, and we'll get to it on the next pod. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon, everybody.